interrupting the current neo-Euchronial climate change behaviorally controlled energy-starved postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM484. And have you been seeing it coming down as you've been told behind the woodshed? I think so. And it just starting to look around, and it's more people talking again. When the writing's on the wall, and for as much as I want to be passive about some of this stuff, I'm not sure that we're going to escape what they force us into. And I think we really have to start coming back into what I was saying. You better look ahead. You better figure out what's going on. In this first story, I didn't get to last week. I left 10 players on the field last week trying to get through all this stuff, trying to show you across the spectrum what's going on, hopefully giving you subject matters that might interest you to help jump in, lend a hand as you can. And I only know from experience, you can't even possibly know what's going to be demanded of you until you jump in. I don't care how many books you read. I don't care what you think you know. I don't care about what you thought you knew. There's a whole other bunch of stuff that comes in that you have to really pay attention to. But I want to get this next setup of, we were talking about who has the power and this and that, and the lack of justice in the world. We see it, but we don't respond correctly to the fact of lack of justice. And I don't like to offer what particularly can be done, because I'm not the mind of that. I don't know about all that can be done and what people can do. I do know that things have to be done, and there's a certain way to go about it, and I'm really a high-level guy to make a record. I've realized, however you're going to be dealt with in the world, there's an administrative record that you start, even if it's just in a communication set, in the law, preparing for a judicial condition. And part of the strategy I would hope that you've figured out by now is you come in so formidable in the beginning, they don't really want to mess with you. That's either just to leave you alone, or in the problem of the societies around the world, now we have to come together in a different way to protect each other, because we're all being attacked. And what passes is what appears to be justice. We have to start calling out and force, with some force and effect, start to get pushed back about what justice is seemingly coming forward. It's been a couple of different cases here recently. And I've said this for a long time. For instance, a miner, Mineral State grantee, granted the property that he or she is working, is supposed to be left alone, settled and peaceful. And I don't think there's one miner in the United States of America, which is a completely different place relative to the rest of the world and the minerals, and why the Congress had to give up the minerals to the people, and the way this place is wired. Miners are supposed to live in peace. That's property owners. The miner has the same rights as anybody with a patent on their land. And that's not supposed to be touched. The only jurisdiction a judge is supposed to have relative to land is a jurisdiction to keep everybody from messing with you. We are so far away from that I keep telling you that a miner gets attacked at all, even in the affront of an administrative letter, that's an attack that has no justice that can be found for it. Because these are people that are supposed to be taking these oaths we thought were going to, you know, essentially serve us, if you will, to keep peace amongst even ourselves. They become the oppressor. That they are never were supposed to do it this way. That we've allowed this to happen, and it's taken me all this time behind the woodshed. Took me all the time before getting here to figure some of this out and to talk about this and to see what's come on us. It's kind of a scary thing in a way. And it's not letting up, and they're double tripling down. The machine, the train is rolling on the other side of this oppression. Want to move into, this is a spiritual war. I'm sure you've heard that. Some people will not recognize that, but that's not for me the reception of someone is not my job. I can just tell you that it's multifaceted, multi-layered attack. And part of the spiritual attack is also the mental attack. And so we have to start working this out. But there's been a gentleman that I talked briefly on, and it's kind of hard to keep track of all this going on, but a gentleman up in Canada where I was dropped off here last week, who had the power and who has to persist against an illicit power and for how long is what I'm trying to convey here, that I'm want to give credit here to a pastor, Artur Pawlowski, up in Kanukistan, and his massive court of appeal victory. Just go through and read a bit of this to orient us on what's going on. But I'm holding on a reservation as I say these victory. I've shown you years and years now that victories aren't necessarily what they appear to be. And I want us to be very vigilant on this one. He did get a victory because he's not going to be, at least on this one attack, he's not going to be any oppressed any further. But you all understand, and most everyone believes they have a right. For us in the United States, it's enumerated that you have the right to establish in a religion. That means the ability to keep and practice and all that. So there is a direct attack. I thought Kyrgyzstan had the same, partly because our roots, all of our roots come from England. They really didn't really separate us at some point. And they're getting it worse, where we now see the veneer of Europe coming over. Notwithstanding, I told you the Queen had to get her property out from under Europe, which is what Brexit was, before they came back and attacked, to keep the Queen's stuff separate. All these things that they claim that we moved from and we started a new way in the West, for at least the United States, not Kyrgyzstan, but for the West, that's all really, if you look carefully, that's all been really a lie. And so those that see that there's the problems in the government and this and that, it's all coming from people taking advantage of those lies. And no one really stepped up to stop it. But here we have Dr. Artur Pawlowski stood up against this oppression in the COVID. And I'm only talking on this today about the medical stuff. I'm going to probably hit a lot of the medical stuff next week as I try to pivot between a different points of subject, general subject matter. But this was an important story. It ties into some of the stuff that happened between last broadcast and now relative to religion. And I find the Artur Pawlowski, Pastor Artur Pawlowski, to be an example that everybody who believes, I think it's a mistake to say, oh, that's religion. You need to look at what is being said, why, what's being oppressed beyond the pastor title, beyond that it's from a church. Understand what people and governments are doing to infringe on these things and others. And I want you to observe, even if you're not a follower, a believer, or whatever you want to call all that, if they're going to do it to this gentleman and his church and what he was doing, they're going to do it to you. Going into the story now, for daring to open his church, feed the homeless, preach and protest injustice, Pastor Artur Pawlowski has endured more hardship and persecution at the hands of unelected health officials, police, and politicians over the last 2 years than most will ever encounter in a lifetime. If that seems hyperbolic, it isn't. Drug dealers and sex offenders have easier time in the judicial system and in the court of public opinion than this Polish pastor who just wanted to be left alone to worship in peace. Artur and his family have seen threats, vandalism, and assaults both at home and their place of worship, and Artur's dramatic repeated arrests and the 51-day incarceration drew international attention. But after all these hardships, the Court of Appeals of Alberta has handed Pastor Artur and his legal counsel, Sarah Miller, of JSS Barristers, who is being provided to Artur at no cost to him thanks to your donations, an absolute and total victory was given to them. The ruling was a categorical repudiation of the failing of the courts when it comes to Pastor Artur's ongoing prosecution, with the decision going so far as to say the contempt of court charges he faced should have never have been applied to him in the first place. I spoke with Sarah Miller in this article. He says, to break down this story, read that part. I'm going to go on to the end. While this ruling will go a long way to ensuring Pastor Artur's freedom, and we hope to any pending charges against Artur dropped in the coming days, he is still facing charges under Alberta's Critical Infrastructure Defense Act and is relying on your tax receipts or asking for another donation to ensure, which would help to ensure he receives strong legal representation. Well, if it was given to him, I don't know why there's a payment, but if you have a place you want to help support this, he is someone who has just been found to not be liable to all the oppression that's been placed upon him by the government. This is where we start to see, you have these supposed constitutional rights, but the government sits in a presumptive sovereign power to say you don't. And this is where you get, he's right, and then he has to go suffer all this. And the system that you're involved in says, and this is wherever rule of law and democracy brand of injustice presides, they say that you have the right, because you have the right to get monetarily compensated, then that you have due process and you have a potential remedy. And then they fight you tooth and nail that way. Another thing here is that they show that they mentioned the legal system was essentially giving the victory. Well, it didn't, because he may not have been found criminal, but they didn't bring him in underneath that. That's how they charge you. They fraudulently brought him in. None of that got justice. Now, if he wants to get more justice, he has to go back in. That's where it will start to cost him. And that's why you should be looking for people that have these cases. If they want, if the victim wants to move after it, make a point. Some of these cases aren't done because you're going to receive justice. You do it because it will make a record. It'll make a public record. And if there's no, and here's our problem, and here's my problem, as I come to the many decades doing this and watching most people not step up, it seems and appears to be a fool's errand, what I've been doing and what people generally do. We see it took an international review, it still didn't let them off the hook, which is what I'm telling you, how many people it starts to take when oppression resides within and inside your government under color of lawful authority. So at the point where you see a pastor who is not a criminal and tries to assert in the Christian faith, actually exampling the Christian faith, it was condemned. All because of a fraud called this Kobe fraud. And no one is really extending what I'm suggesting on how much quicker you can get to that, where you demand from the official, pursuant to your law, your communicable disease law, where the official, given the duty and obligation to do so, was where they demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency, the non-fraudulent infectious agent, for the disease they claim to have power for. In other words, they have no power, no discretion, and no right of determination until they can show that. And I would think that if even Artur Pawlowski would put that forward on all his cases, that he's being persecuted pursuant to a fraud, I think things start to run a little bit quicker. I don't know that. What I'm saying is if you don't say it, the presumption is on the government they've done right to violate him and everything he was just exonerated in. My hat's off to what he's been doing, the example he leads. It's not necessarily some of the facts I would make sure that were brought forward and made a record of. My thought, maybe I don't think it too highly of myself. I think when it's really pressed, see, if he would have thrown that what he was up against was a fraud perpetrated on him and then he gets exonerated, do you see what that starts to do? You see the message that starts to send to people? Why? Because we have to get through to people that aren't able for many reasons. Now, what I've been offering behind Woodshed to attack, I said you're on the right side of history, but you got to go a certain way. Everyone wants to just roll their eyes at that. Now, I don't have to do a thing. No, we're under an attack, and it comes by so many different vectors and vulnerable points of attack. I think there's so many that people don't realize it. And good people are being harmed and hurt, and it takes somebody to step up. And we have a response now, and I don't know that it was in the way I was suggesting to address a religious exemption, people just wanting to live their religious belief, exercise their example through their belief system along the lines of a Pastor Artur, feeding the homeless and doing good works and all that. People in the healthcare industry being destroyed, taking out of their jobs because the companies decided they had a policy that would not recognize that accommodation for that religious exemption. But we hear today, when you finally press it forward, there is these things. I don't think it's justice, but there is a reflection that it was unjust what was done in the beginning. That we see today 500 fired healthcare workers win historic multi-million-dollar settlement in COVID mandate wake-up call. So if you press against it, like I told you to do, even if you didn't want to follow my way, but follow a way that's recognized. And I told you how to do that right through the statutes, particularly for the United States of America. And the Department of Labor and those sections on exemption and what had to happen. And I explained all that had to happen that wasn't happening. And that was how you go in. You don't admit that you want the exemption first. You say they have to produce the non-fraudulent exigency to even ask. And you sit with your exemption behind, waiting. Healthcare workers who went forward with just their exemption were also found protected, as I was telling you. Healthcare workers who were fired and not getting COVID shot have won a major victory. The Liberty Council has announced a historic $10.3 million settlement in the nation's first of its kind class-wide lawsuit. The class action settlement against North Shore University Health System is on behalf of more than 500 current and former healthcare workers who were unlawfully discriminated against and denied religious exemptions from the COVID shot mandate, according to the nonprofit religious rights law firm. The settlement was filed Friday in the Federal Northern District Court of Illinois, and the settlement must be approved by the court. Quote, the settlement should serve as a strong warning to employers across the nation that they cannot refuse to accommodate those with severe religious objections to forced vaccination mandates. North Shore will also change its unlawful, quote, no religious accommodations, quote, policy to make it consistent with law and to provide religious accommodations in every position across its numerous facilities. No position in any North Shore facility will be considered off limits to unvaccinated employees, but with approved religious exemptions. And I tell you, that's even the wrong way. Congratulations to the fight and the win, but that is admitting that there was a fraud that was actually a valid illness and a valid communicable disease. That's why it's not correct. But congratulations for fighting back and proving the law means something. And if you followed what I was telling you down by the rules and how it works, these companies could not have done that. I do not agree with what Myhat said about it. It was just a strong warning. Everyone who was mistreated like this, it's beyond warning to the companies. So he's truncating the rights of other people. He should be sitting there, we're going to move forward on every other one now. Because it doesn't matter where it was when they violated that federal provision for that protection. And I've talked all about how that would work. So this is a big deal, but it's not limited to what this attorney is saying in this. I think it's the attorney is saying in this. And those of you that have been harmed, consider well what you might have to do. I don't know. Maybe you contact with these folks. I don't know about class action lawsuits. You couldn't come underneath this, I don't think. You could maybe go on your own, but I'm not sure how that would work, particularly for Illinois. There might be similar other places that have this other thing going on. Again, the warning is actually that your court in your state might find the same way, and I'm suggesting to you the corruption is such that it might not. Why your record is so important. Why it's so important. And anyway, congratulations to the folks. They went and they stood on their ground and they had to stand up and they had to take the beating. I don't know what $10 million does. That's kind of money out of mind for me. I don't know how that compensates. Because remember, that's all, that fraud is attached to the destruction of your society. Remember, it says like the Great Reset, COVID-19, the Great Reset, written by some guy who puts that out there to say this is going to be used to destroy you. No authority, nothing. But every jurisdiction where rule, law, and democracy brand of injustice runs the place suffered the same criminal response. And the corporations used it until they were stopped. So there's the law. It functions. We have another insult that is now happens to people. They have to go through this. They had to go through get the attorney that would do it. Thank you to that attorney, that bar member that was able to do that. It does show there is some things that you can go ahead and do that are there that you can rely on. Now, you want to tell me why there's been so much balking everywhere else, but not in this case where someone brought a religious exemption right and were denied? They allowed the governors to run roughshod over to cover their fraud? Moving on, I wouldn't go into all that. The religious problem, the trying to be in a good example, would try to do it privately in your own right to do so. You get vilified by the system. Well, now we have the other side where the system utilized the cover of doctrines they had no right to do. But we now see the evidence of terrible wrongs, not just over just a couple years, over generations, where we see Pope Francis issues another historic act. See how this is all going too? We see that, but it's pretty impressive how the historic actions are going right on right now. Pope Francis issues a historic apology for devastating school abuses in Canada. And this is troubling a bit to me. I appreciate for the Indigenous people of Canada that they had this guy come to apologize. Inside the reading, we're finding out it's not so across the board that the Native peoples there agree completely. It's like a compromise. This Pope came out to talk to, and I'll read part of the story as I said it. Pope Francis issued a historic apology Monday on the Catholic Church's cooperation with Canada's catastrophic policy of Indigenous residential schools, saying the forced assimilation of Native peoples into Christian society destroyed their cultures, severed families, and marginalized generations in ways still being felt today. Francis says, "I'm sorry." And the Indians applaud by the report. I also know by watching a few videos, they're not universally accepting of this. That's not my decision. This is the part where organized church, in conspiracy with governments, have destroyed people. And I want, for those of you that understand what I say about Title 42, Section 1981 of the United States Code, being your equal rights, your civil rights to pay exaction, extortion of every kind, and when you look very carefully, it includes white people. It was written for the freed black folk. I want you to understand what I'm talking about, what we're talking about here, about what the generations of harm come down under the secret of a silence of a color of authority, another fraud. Color of authority is fraud. You proceed under the color of something when you don't actually have it. The capitulation of the Catholic Church here, I found very hollow in a way for myself, in that what I'm listening for is, how did they get to do this to people? First of all, they got in league with the government. That's jurisdictional contamination. They didn't keep them separate. So the Catholic Church has already shown, I've shown you many times how the Catholic Church isn't what it's supposed to be. It got in league with the government. It's like government, it's like a public-private partnership, isn't it? Because ecclesiastical jurisdictions, I mean, no matter what they are separate and completely different, typically, from the government. Tax law will show us that as well. And nothing is absolute here, depends on what particulars. But getting back to this, they came in, the Pope came in. If you think we were separate from all this in the Catholic Church early on in England and the Church and all that stuff, and what they did to Indigenous people, Native peoples here, as they call them in Canada, I don't even know where to begin on how, I mean, it just doesn't, it's not an example of anything I ever thought was Christian, even Muslim. Whatever faith that talked about peace, where you find it. I'm not talking about all the corruption that's done in the meantime. But I can go and read for yourself where it's really how we're supposed to get along is how we get along. We're supposed to get along. But the Pope comes out and does an apology. I'm sorry. I don't know what does for the Native people up there. But he did not. And I want to point out something. The mechanism that they allowed to bring this through was the doctrine of discovery. He did not denounce that. Then I want to go back up and talk. Did you miss the point of the term that they used? Residential schools? We all live, Russell Means was saying it, right? RLM promoted his thing for his funeral and something else, what Russell Means said. We all live on the res, he says. And I heard that and I said, yeah, we all do. Well, how do you know that? But whose res? Whose reservation he meant? But look at, it's residence also. He spoke to resident schools, and I want you to go look around at what you do with the government. Don't you profess that you're a resident? And I'm going to suggest to you, when you read enough, you'll see that you're no different than the Native peoples of Kanukistan or the Indigenous Native peoples in the United States or anybody anywhere else. You're the Indigenous people. The doctrine of discovery will not be denied and will use to oppress you. And what you'll get out of it over generations is I'm sorry and some ceremony. That I am just getting to the point, I don't know what else to do. I want to be peaceful about this. I don't want to advocate that we have to do certain really extreme things. But at some point, the capitulation I even saw in the Native peoples, in the videos I was watching, that compromise is not justice either. And so what I'm saying, well, we're going to have to get our mind, as people generally, all on the res, all those that are resident, all the residency, the reservation you live on under the oppressor, comes in the white robe. But we're going to have to rethink this really far ahead before we start doing things, and that's my caution. If we don't, we're going to be kicked into the problem, and as you see, is being set up in the United States, where everything that you do is a domestic terrorism, and everything that terrorism the government does, but causing you to fear, live under fear, intimidation, and dread, the actual definition of terrorism, to live under fear, intimidation, and dread. When the government does it, they are the white knight in the white robe, saying, I'm sorry, but we just got the power to do this. And so I've got a link to a video. It's the video of the meeting with the Pope and the Native peoples up there. again, it's not for me to say more about what their agreement is. I'm suggesting to the rest of us, I mean, they do what they do. We all have to do what we have to do, but we have a much higher justice that's demanded for everybody. And so inside that government, you saw the public-private partnership of the church getting with the government to indenture the native peoples of Canada. It's happening in everywhere. It's happened in the United States. It's happened all over this thing, wherever this works. It's happened in Nazi Germany. It happens everywhere. This is how this thing, this doctrine of discovery and this public-private partnership in fascism, as Mussolini defined it back in the war. Like, if you think we're away from the World War II in the end, they might have hanged him and his cabinet and his wife. They didn't hang the idea. No, that was embraced, and now you see it coming through Klaus, the Nazi Schwab, saying that this fraud, this medical fraud is going to be used to reset the world into an oppression. Another economic servitude, another indenturement of people. Put you all in the res. This has already happened. I don't know if people don't get this. You're all residents. Go look. And when you say that you're not resident, go look what happens. And when you're not, you don't get the justice that you deserve up front, like Artur did not. Pastor Artur did not. That should have been off limits immediately before they even had a thought. But it wasn't. That's a clue, folks, how far behind we are as people. And we're behind, but not behind the woodshed, which is you tuning up what these people, like the church, like the Pope, expected you to be able to do against them. And they took advantage when you didn't. Your silence was consent. And we move into now the government of Canada, continuing today, moving these agendas that I've talked to you about, the Pope already agreeing about the sustainable development, all this other stuff back in 2015, the big shakeup and the schism being melded back together for unity, right, in the world. Well, I've been through all this stuff in the past. We see Trudeau moves ahead on WEF's nitrogen reduction plan that sparked the Dutch farming uprising. I don't know what Mars is saying to the Canucks Indian people here. You're a captured people. You are on the res, just like the native peoples. I know some people get insulted that I put you all together, but we're all together. Go look at our equal rights. You've got everybody, white citizens, as well as the freed black people, and everybody in between are going to be given equal exactions of every kind and no other. Every extortion will come against you by hand of government. And in our time, go to see in that law, and non-governmental agencies cannot remove that. They're forbidden. Now, Trudeau is bringing on the same policy under the color of the authority to do so, the same nitrogen policy that's got the EU being destroyed. And I don't want to go through, if you're interested, you're going to do the research and find out about all this. I just need to tell you about it. Canuckistinians, I don't know what you have for property rights, but I'm going to tell you something. If you have the right to be on a land, they don't have the government, and you have the right to do something like farm, the government does not have the right to come and put in a restriction upon you that diminishes that right, or the right to acquire your crops or the next crops. And like Artur, you will have to fight. And you will be violated up front. But when you find your law that says they have to give you what they allowed you to do, even if you don't have the right, like property like we do in the United States, they have to give you the right to farm. The government has no right to take what they're doing in order to diminish you or acquire your livelihood through it. They also know that the government doesn't have the right, underneath the color of the authority, to do some of some foreign imposition by non-governmental organizational plan. They admit here it's WEF. Trudeau's the darling. Him and Macron are darlings here. Future Moneypox recipients, I suppose. But Trudeau has looked at some the global, young global leader moving this forward, a foreign agenda. Taking your property right, taking your right to livelihood, what you do from the land. If you have the right, in Canuckistan, and I haven't had a chance to go look, if you have the right of compensation, that's another claim, because they're making these executive administrative impositions, stealing your ability by the regulation. The government has to start paying for it. And so don't wait generations when you can't have your kids farming the land. Start stopping it now. If I'm wrong, find where I lead you and say, okay, fine. It's stated just a little different here in Canuckistan. Then say it that way. But folks, you really better step up. I don't know how it's not possible you don't see the global construct here. And this is not a time to be waiting around. You definitely and most necessarily have to be those like the religious exemption people who made the effort to even put the exemption in and followed the rules, and then over time found out that they were wronged. You need to do that. You can't just sit back. Like I say, driving a tractor, well, it looks impressive and it's kind of cool. It's not what people need to do. The Kanukistanians are now under the gun. You think that the native peoples are not going to be affected by what they're doing to the farmers that are maybe no native peoples as well, but everyone else? If you don't see the connection to the oppression that's upon the world without actual lawful authority. And so I'm asking, because I don't know, but I'm asking all the Kanukistanians, go to your property laws, go see what your grants are, go see what you are entitled to when they gave you the right to use the property, go see what you're subject to, go look for the savings clauses, and they're very short words of valid existing rights, things like that. I get off on, I'm talking with somebody here yesterday or day before. We're looking for a particular thing in a court case or in a constitution. And I'm looking and I'm reading, well, here's a reservation to the antecedent common law. It doesn't say what you need, but it says that there's a reservation for antecedent common law. That's the same thing. And so you really have to look very carefully. And again, I want to get off point. I got so much to say here going on today. I want to get through all these tabs. Kanukistan, you're on deck. In fact, forget it. You're on it. They got you're now at the plate, and they're putting zingers on you, and all the balls they're hitting you with in the pitch is not going to be considered a foul. You got to stand there and take it, and you're never going to get to first base with this unless you start doing what I've been suggesting over time, and you do it in mass. They're trying to kill you, folks, like they're going to do everywhere. And every state and every government's going to be doing it slightly a bit different. Well, they didn't in Trudeau versus the EU, because why? They're almost in, they're locked. They're locked. How the Queen can set that up, too, is a whole different thing in my mind as well. You guys up there in Kanukistan have an interesting problem. It's not a problem. It's a challenge, but then it's also, I think, an Achilles heel. Where's the Queen in all this? Has she agreed to have to pay you for the lack of production now? And what is the value of your starvation worth? You start pushing back like this, because most of these places have to have rules. If they're at agency rules, they have to have those all-important meetings that take your comment and do meaningful interpretation of it. And if you sit silent, you're just going to be part of the excitement of being able to drive your tractor everywhere. Well, you diminish yourself, because you're not paying for all those fuel and all that time that you're not producing. But you're hoping that your lack of production and the clearing of the shelves at the store are going to bring people to bear. What that's going to do is just going to make people more looking to steal from each other, because we go to our base nature. If you're not going to stand up before it when you see the problem, if you're not going to step off the track when you see the train, you're just going to push the other guy into the train, thinking it's going to not get you. We see now, moving on through this green agenda that they're bringing on, total fraud. I told you, we're living under fraud. Fraud cannot be a non-fraudulent exigency by definition. It offers no authority and any power at all, no matter what subject matter it touches. And if you understand a little bit about equity, get an old equity book, start reading it. About fraud in particular, you don't have to read the 12 or 13, 1400 page books I read to try and figure out someone's particular issue on equity to confirm whether I do know or not know, or what is the in and out. Go read in an equity book on fraud. They're on archive.org. Go find one. Gibson's is a nice one. Go read on fraud. And then understand what you're launching is fraud. It's not government. But as we see some in this next article, someone observing, and I'm hoping, again, as we more important people talk about this and observe and people get to read, when you're also, well, unless you have a phone, I guess, and you read articles and you're on a tractor, you're not going to get this information either. But the Green Agenda will be revolutionary against the Green Agenda. Title, paragraph, Dutch farmers are rebelling against climate change and environmental regulations that will shut down their farms. The farmers point out repeatedly that they are amongst the most productive on the planet. Let's all stop. It's all rhetoric. Until you get back to your property rights to do the mining and you start, the farming, any production, because they're after all of it, that the climate change is a fraud. It's also part of the Great Reset. It's all part of the sustainable development thing. It's all part of Agenda 2030. It doesn't take a long time. 2030 to make the connections, you don't have to explain it, that you would then say that all of that is foreign to the grants and or law that protects your property, your right to have a livelihood, not a wage, not a farm, not a business, the right to make a livelihood and produce. And if the way it's written, hopefully in all places that offer the property rights and protection, the government has to put forward an intention to compensate that, and then they have to answer how it wouldn't debilitate the society to cause another type of national security imposition. So the title here, Green Agenda Will Be Revolutionary Against the Greens, I'm going to add to something here. Only if you step up. If you don't step up, your silence will be the consent. It will not be against the Green Agenda. Take all the stupidity, the lack of rationale, the insanity, the bits and pieces that they want to say they know better what to do for you about, because they're going to protect something that has no inanimate, there's an inanimate object that they don't even feel a part of. All that has to be done away with. You have to step up. And if you do it with something like your property or your right to a livelihood or your the thing that you were oppressed by. For Artur, Pastor Artur, it was the religious standing up, keeping his church open in the face of the fraud, which he never really mentions. For the hospital workers or medical workers going through the religious exemption, just trying to get the accommodation and failing. You had to have stepped up, otherwise see, you're not even in the game, right? This is what I've been saying about all this. So the Green Agenda, it will be revolutionary against the Green Agenda, is true if we have people stepping up. And until then, I don't know. And before I go on, I forgot again all these things going on. I want to thank some of the commenters. Just generally, thank you for commenting, for what you do on the social media. Again, anybody that can forward the message, I appreciate. I don't do that very well. I don't get out a lot. I don't do that a lot. I know that there's a problem. There's a problem for me. You've heard a little bit about I can't be tracked. I try to keep my linkages down to not be tracked down. And you've heard the government agencies are onto us. So we've been able to make a buffer, and I keep that. That's why I don't touch too much. So I appreciate that everyone's going on. And Unusual Sunspot, thank you for the comment on BitChute. And Mines, you have Tweeter and the Monkey Man and Cowboy Tech. I didn't get in recently, but those two, thank you very much for thumbing up or positive, whatever it was there. I appreciate the Mines.com response. All that's really diminished. Not many people seem to be interested. So I truly appreciate it. We don't know when someone might get the information that gives them a thought to start becoming active, or something they really need to listen to, so the attack comes to them and they got some shield they can put up quickly, and then they can get back to bringing some order to themselves. But back over to this, the Green Agenda. It's not going to stop, folks. They have a plan. You don't. I know some people take insult to that, but you don't. That Great Reset was a plan. He wrote a book with the Industrial Revolution before that. It's a plan. But this is what we start getting into something in the future if I get to it. See, things to do. The plan is in, and they're working it. And then the global leaders you know all about it. Some have titles. And I'm critical of all of them because there's a simple, fast way to get rid of all that, and none are. So I also have you, a link came to me, I think it was, Davos Elite Plan to Fundamentally Change the Way Food is Produced and Consumed. Okay, so all these guys are coming through, the Trudeau doing the food, nitrogen, fertilizer. The green revolution is going to be decimated if you step up to get tired that they're trying to steal your food by all these external ways. Well, there's a plan. Davos Elite Plan to Fundamentally Change the Way Food is Produced and Consumed. What's been so wrong with it until now? We feed the world, folks. The Netherlands is second in place. What is the problem? And if it's the way food production is being produced and consumed, and they're stopping food production, can't be that this plan means production or consumption. Alex Newman explains UN Agenda 2030 behind farming restrictions. Another voice coming forward. I don't even know. I read some of this stuff He'll explain to anybody who's listening to me for a short time, don't understand about some of this, or even those that have listened for a while and think they kind of understand it. Here's another synopsis you can read from Alex Newman. Don't know the guy, don't know anything about it. He goes through a lot of the points, not everything. He shows you how it's tied together, just like I do. In fact, I forget what I read. I bring it up, and I forget what's in it. He just brought up everything I just mentioned, how the years came on and what the UN Sustainable Development Goals in 2030. He brings it all up. It's all right there. It's a plan against you. And I'm telling you, you don't have a plan. You are going to lose. And if you can't write a simple letter, I know, okay, people are going to get upset about this. Oh, you're judging me. If you can't write a simple letter to make a record to defend yourself on simple stuff like COVID fraud, demanding your official comport to the law to demonstrate a non-fraudulent agency, what do you think is going to happen when this thing, the tsunami, actually does hit wherever you are? It actually isn't hitting even in the European Union yet. They're just getting people to drive their tractors around. Wait till the real famine starts because of this. And then everyone thinks, oh, we're going to come and work together. No, the starving people will come after what you have left. Okay, so Alex Newman explains Agenda 2030. If you think it's not happening, that's what Trudeau's, it's exploding. That's what WEF is, their elite plan. It's not an elite plan. These are oppressors. These are tyrants. No authority whatsoever. I look at some of this and you listen to the words. I mean, it's all consistent what they're doing. So I'll say to these people, to those suggesting some sort of moral transformation through a new social contract for America, who asked you? You foreigner, who asked you that I needed one? Where was I in that discussion? Well, I was never anywhere because these people don't have an authority. They just come in as trespassers. So when I hear the words that someone's want to set up for me, a moral transformation of a new social contract, I want to know who asked you, first of all. Can we even ask that question? No, we got them right to the point where they're starting to affect people in growing food, and no one stands up and says, wait, you can't do that, and if you can do that, you got to pay me to starve me. And then you got to pay for starving me. And if you starve me and you take away my production, that's sabotage. How is what you're offering even credible? How is it within the duty that you were put in your office that you took an oath to? How? Anybody asking this stuff instead of driving your tractor around? No, what it takes is like someone like Pastor Artur to go through the Bar Association system, and it's like, oh, look at how the Bar Association system, the trial worked. It's justice, and it's not. Man was incarcerated, proven innocent. You're innocent until proven guilty? Yeah, go look at his case. That's an example that you're not, and that means you're not underneath your established form of government anymore. When will you step up? EU lifts the ban on, now this is how it works. The reality where we hear that the green agenda is going to be a revolution against itself, you start to see the reflection of that in the knee-jerk reactions coming out, and then what the government realizes, these occupiers know they can't piss off the natives. They should know not to do it for generations, but they haven't learned that. I'm asking you to not let it go generations. You stand up and you say, immediately, hey, you're not supposed to, you have no authority, you have no power, no authority to do any of this. And when they start to see that there's a problem developing, you watch these governors, in the EU it's different than you're supposed to have elected officials, but the EU lifts the ban on import of number of goods and services to Russia. Oh, that didn't last long, those sanctions. The European Union, within the framework of the 7th package of anti-Russian sanctions, lifted the ban on supply of a number of goods, services, and technologies from Russia to the aviation industry. Okay, so now we're seeing they went too far. This is your time to move on the fact that they can't even think. They are irrational. How they move along? They don't know cause and effect. They interfere with production. They interfere with consumption. They interfere with peace, with peaceful relations. This is all examples of your time, folks. I said before, you're on the right side of history to hit this endless disease nonsense. But the book comes out in June 2020 to explain this is a plan. And then you heard Lagarde, who's part of the, what, the IMF, right? World Bank, I don't remember now, maybe the IMF. Oh, these disease-causing, endless disease-causing stickers, oh, that's going to be the economy of the world. As reality starts to step in, maybe that reality will help you to end that green agenda when, as you see here, cow dung can't replace Russian fuel. Oh, it finally dawns on people that aren't thinking, that have an agenda they're running counter to what nature actually wants to see. Energy generated from organic waste won't replace even half the gas Germany gets from Russia, a trade group expert says. Despite the great hopes, hope and change, how much more consistent do we have to be here across the world? Hope and change, Obama, hope and change. Gas produced from manure cannot alone rid Germany of its dependence on Russian fossil fuels, leading biogas expert has explained. How about, folks, you farmers who are told not to use your nitrogen, how about if you start to do different processes and use that manure to make fertilizer water? Don't try to make it gas. Put it right into the what you need. You can't buy it from somewhere else. Put it in the ground anyway. And do what I'm telling you about making the record. Show me the authority you have to interfere with my right to make a livelihood that will make a livelihood. Or show me the money. Explain to me then how you have the right to destroy the nation by showing me the money. Because if I don't grow food, we starve. You don't have the right to do that. Where are you, folks? But cow dung can't replace the whole thing. I wonder, I hope they don't come under the amount that people produce too. But this is all the whole point about coming up with stupid and ludicrous type ideas. They actually start to think about that. And someone says, oh, the pencil on paper mathematically says it could be possible, when they're trying to sell you a bill of goods. When it comes down to reality, no, not so much. EU ban on Russian gas, impossible, says Austria. Do you think they would have thought about this before they put the whole world into famine? Do you think this was about Russia? No, they knew this before. They needed to be nice to Russia. And I've shown you that they had no other authority than to be nice to Russia. And it's not because you're being nice to Russia. You would be agreeing to your previous contracts and not breaching them. Is all that had to happen there. But no, the West is not honorable. No, because it exists in fraud. The reality comes, the green agenda is going to fail on some of its own terms. It's your way to push back, I'm saying. But why? When you see these, it's impossible, this, that, and the other. All these policies that have been made without your input that interfere with your rights, given you have the property right given to you, even in your ability to exclusively use the property for farming or mining or whatever, that is the right to produce what you need, how you're best able to do it. No authority to interfere with that. Reality come into place. You can't ban the gas. We don't have another source. Well, we knew that going in, didn't we? Showing that these global leaders that you're now under aren't leading or doing any service to you. While that, they realize that they need Russian gas, Russia Gazprom, to disable the second pipeline turbine. If you want to watch how the Russians are playing this chess game, this is just a fascinating way how you're watching a country destroy others that thought they were hot, big and powerful and forgot about nature. They need to eat. They need to keep warm. They're in a place that they need to eat and keep warm, and they can't find it from their environment. And these people are trying to tell us what to do, and all we're trying to do is give them what they need. Russian energy major Gazprom will stop operation on a second Siemens turbine, the company announced on Monday. I don't need to read more. The other thing is on these turbines, it's a yearly thing. They have to do the maintenance. I mean, you just got to keep your machine running. Again, reflecting well on Russia. But they're going to shut it down. Now what does Europe do? Well, we get a guy, I think it's the Hungary. No, he's not Hungary. He's from a country called Hungary. Orbán, he says, sanctions have not shaken Moscow, and Europe has already lost four governments, as in an economic and political crisis. And this guy, I'm understanding, he's vilified by Europe. They don't like him. And this is the problem with psychopaths, this is the problem with irrational people in office. You can't really sit by and do nothing about that. First, defend yourself and your property. Once you get everyone doing that to themselves and your right to do your livelihoods and do what you need to do and look for alternatives, whatever they might be. My suggestion of taking your fertilizer and making it liquid tea to spread, I'm just starting to do that and I'm seeing some benefit. I'm not saying it's the answer. I'm saying that you can still produce if you start restructuring how you're going to do stuff and wean yourself away from all that dependency. In this regard, I do think that the green agenda will destroy itself because we're going to find ourselves, we're going to learn we can be self-reliant much better. But Orban, a leader in Hungary, says, we shouldn't be doing all this. Moscow's not being harmed at all. What did you hear about the guy behind the woodshed say? This is going to come, this spit's coming right back in the wind, be like a hurricane right in the face of the United States and the EU. And if a guy behind the woodshed can see this that fast, this is, what do you say? What am I going to say? How much more proof do you have? Not just incompetence. This is your world leaders have taken over and occupied your governments. They're not your governments anymore. And to prove the point of what Orban says, it's working against four governments, and he holds it on the other side of the pond. No, it's affecting the United States. The United States plunges into recession. The United States economy has shrunk for two consecutive quarters, meeting one of the criteria for recession. Official figures released on Thursday suggest. I'll end this. They are such a big deal about, is it one criteria? It's not enough for a recession. Is it a depression? Is it a drag inflation like Celente did? Well, it's certainly an eschen. That's for sure. It's an eschen of some sort, but it's programmed. And if we don't get around that part, we're going to be run down by that train. We cannot escape the programmed destruction of your economy and the means of making the economy it's really in production, or the medium which allows you to be comfortable and confident in transfer of wealth while you're doing it. And remember, don't forget, the U.S. economy plunge is also part, remember, everything the government of the United States spends is GDP. This is a false number to begin with. It's like all your debt on your credit card becomes GDP for your household, the way they got it worked out here. It's not. It's not production. It's fraud. It's cut under the color of production. This is these best practices in doing the cooking of the books. So at some point, we definitely have to be cutting ourselves loose of all this. We're somehow going to have to solve the problems. If they don't want us to go buy nitrogen and they want to try and put impositions on us, we have to find other ways to make all that. We have to find other ways to mutually come together to defend each other on each other's rights as well. And understand, these people are willing to hurt you over generations, I guess is the thing that's really starting to wear on me a bit for everybody. So we're definitely in an eschen. The point is it's programmed. And it's here to destroy you, because these big organizations like the government aren't going to be destroyed, not when they got this fiction called the World Bank and the IMF to sit there to bail places out, like we saw them do to Sri Lanka, along the lines of the WEF that Trudeau is now imposing on the plan for nitrogen reduction on Kyrgyzstan. Now, again, back to Orban saying, nothing reflects onto Moscow for all these sanctions and other proofs. Donbass farmers, unfazed by sanctions, will sell food to friendly countries. Why aren't we saying that in everywhere else in the world, folks? While the West blames Russia for provoking a global food crisis, which the UN has actually been warning about since 2021, liberated areas in Donbass are engaged in agricultural production. Let me tell you something a little about probably that UN warning. That UN warning was a plan. Guess what? It's not working east of Ukraine. Despite the pressure from Kiev, which has cut off access to electricity and water, Donbass farmers are continuing their work growing wheat first and foremost. And the UN comes in like the white knight and says, okay, we're going to now get all that, despite the so-called war, the special operations, whatever's going on over there, the NATO fiasco, we're going to go ahead and get some of that grain off. Well, interestingly, Egypt just said, we don't want your Ukraine grain. I don't know what that was about, but I guess they're not starving that much. The point is, the people that produce do that. They just produce. They want to sell you their goods. And anybody that, and then you got a government that protects that, their goods are going to be said, they're fine. Why don't we have that in the United States, for as big and powerful as we are? Why? Is a plan. And we have another suggestion now. I've been trying to tell you to separate a bit how you do that, how you figure that. It's going to take more people and more time than I have here behind the woodshed, but I've been watching someone for a very long time. I don't keep on her, listen to her a lot. Just when periodically things come up, her name's Ellen Brown. She's offered some things to do. I'm not necessarily agreeing with connecting into the system much, but if there's a halfway point to do so that does isolate you, I think she offers a pretty interesting thing, what it is that you do something. And you do it locally, achieving self-funding local sovereignty as the global food systems collapse. Now, her talking about meetings of exchange now talks directly to this problem, that your United States government is interfering with. Your Canadian government is interfering with. You are oppressed. You're oppressed as anybody, any native on the entire countries are reservations. I point to the United States Code Title 42, 1981, read it very, very carefully to prove that's the law, that oppression, that extortion. Extortion is something against your property under color of authority without authority. Even by omission. And this is if you find out in your code, wherever law you are, that there were supposed to be meetings on, they were supposed to meet with the property owners before they did a rule and they didn't, the omission to have that is a felony. Go find your code that says that. Talk about felony. Talk about extortion, coercion. The right to do something that's infringed, the appurtenant right to the property that's infringed, is a felony. In most places, I've noticed that's run by rule of law and democracy. That you're not seeing it shows you have an occupied system in place. That's why I talked to you about looking at the antecedent rights by clause in the law, a savings clause. You'll see them like, unless otherwise prohibited, subject to valid existing rights, comma, and then they add their corruption on the end of that. Well, if you don't know your rights, you're not going to be able to qualify that first clause that would protect you. Or at least be able to assert the record it ought to have in the face of someone who's probably not going to do it, and why we have to come up with such nonsense, and why someone like Pastor Artur has to go through 51 days in jail, presumed innocent, they say, and then be told that, oh, that was all wrong against him. Achieving self-funding and local sovereignty, de-globalizing and de-dollarizing have been much in the news. Reducing dependence on global supply chain and the U.S. dollar are trends that are happening, not just internationally, but locally. And I was glad to hear that. People that get out more than I do are seeing that. I am seeing that, but it's just, I'm watching the destruction coming a lot quicker. And everyone seems that if you just do self-reliance, that's going to protect you. This is a bigger problem, too. So while you're protecting yourself, look out on how the interaction causes other people to not be looking forward, and how that gets them into their animalistic side, the flight, fight, whatever thing that goes on. It's actually easier for someone to do that and just take the lumps if they survive, and that's good enough. No one thinks that far, it seems, anymore. So in the United States, we have seen movements, both local food independence, and I say non-dependence, thank you, Solomon, to divest the Wall Street banks. The burgeoning cryptocurrency movement is another push to de-dollarize and escape the international control grid. So I want you to offer this. They're talking about, he's talking about coming in locally, doing home gardens, community co-ops. I think I saw a picture of someone, there's a big, in Detroit, I think, they're now growing food. They're able to serve thousands of families. This may be a coming thing to do, as you've been hearing us talk about, any of us who are talking about this. So she's offering going local, and she also talks about, well, what about your credit dollars and what we get from the banks and all that? She talks about the money side. And so I agree that we need to focus locally. And how are you going to keep your medium of exchange separate? How do you do that? Ellen Brown's been talking about that. Whether I fully agree with her, or if I even understand what she's saying, some of the stuff I'm not too studied on. Maybe she's absolutely right. I don't know, but I sense some problems. Not that they don't get looked at, but that I would be cautious of before I jump both feet in. But here's an option. Again, another someone else saying we've got to separate. We've got to become mutually supportive, but we also have to be running our own thing. And I've been saying, watch Russia. Watch Russia has, it's causing a multipolar mental breakdown of the world. They're causing this bipolar condition. Why? Because they're taking action and in principal places, and they've looked at the enemy and found out the Achilles heels, and they're pushing all those buttons. It's like they put everybody in Chinese finger cuffs. And so everyone goes and attacks China. One example, which I also may not agree with, but is an example of people working, and native people as well. Again, the Doctor Discovery put all the people that lived on the land into oppression. And those people weren't that strong. They weren't that organized. In the United States, all the different Indian tribes, if I didn't insult anybody using the word Indian, all the tribes were in fighting themselves, period. They didn't have a unified plan that when the white man, so-called, came and started a little foothold, the white man didn't do so good, but to the generosity of the Indians, they've survived a bit. But they didn't, the Indians generally across the nation didn't have an organized plan to a unified protection. Which is another problem for the United States today in 50 separate states that way if an attack comes. That I don't think is going to come. I'm just saying you got to kind of consider out all the dynamic of the history as we move this thing forward. What will it take for you where you are? In Ecuador, we see the indigenous people coming up and interestingly, we get an analysis, a report on what it's taking that I think anybody who's looking forward to figure out what do you do locally may want to look as an example, not the answer, of what you need to do, where we see Ecuador, key aspects of implications of the national strike, reasserting control over a rogue government. Boy, that last part caught my eye big time. I read through. I'm not so sure. I don't want to condemn any of this. This is what those people are deciding for themselves. When you understand what the South America, their belief, it's not wrong. It's what they do with themselves. It's different, though, than in the United States. And so I don't really, some things they would agree to do, to me, looks like what's gone on in the EU. But it's how they're having to do this. You can see what it takes to start to get back in reasserting control over rogue government. What we see in the United States is the right to alter or abolish the maladministration of government. And the Second Amendment that says we should be able to have that, we have the right to have at least the arms to do that. And I keep thinking about this problem with these arms. These registrations are confiscation. The enemy government that you will go against under the right, the antecedent right in the Constitution to the right to bear arms for the purpose, one of the purposes of which is to alter, abolish the government for maladministration and other wrongs. That government at that time becomes an enemy is not entitled to have a knowledge of where all the enemy soldiers, the people are, that may come at them to stop that. And what they might have to do it. I'm going to assert that for those of you that might get into that fight. I've never seen that action. Again, this is, you have the right to acquire, you have the right to fulfill, and underneath the war, this mentality of war, where I've got to actually physically go after people that are maladministering the government under the right to do so. If I'm looking as a general, I don't want the enemy to know where my soldiers are. That's the people. So this registration confiscation actually has a different level. It's the knowledge of where all your soldiers are going to be when you, the people, step up, if that's where you have to go. And boy, I'm not saying do that. I'm saying let's see if we can get a mindset that we can impress upon them that maybe they should evacuate and show them that we're capable as well. And that's a secondary step to evacuate. And then we're ready. But in Ecuador, they're taking terrible losses amongst their people to try and regain control of their government. I found the reading just fantastic. What impressed me was the amount of organization it actually takes. People actually working out how this is going to work to effectuate what is needed to get done. And if we don't, for us in the West, up north in the West, not the Southwest, I mean South America, the end of Western civilization, why it lacks resilience, and what will take its place. I'm just explaining to you a sentiment. I don't know if I necessarily believe in everything I'm reading here. Some of this stuff I wouldn't tell you because there would be big holes in really how this, some of it would work. But here's a sentiment. Here's the consequence. Here's someone looking at this in their view, and saying, here, there's a consequence of coming. I'm asking you, do you want that consequence? Because if you stay silent, it's coming. Even if he's right, that's coming. If he's wrong, something else is coming. But it's not what you have today, and it's not what we can use today, because we got here with what we had today. And even as hobbled as it was, remember, if you're not getting your property rights and the government's supposed to touch it, we haven't lived in our property rights yet. And look how much we've done. Below is the text of new Michael Hudson speech from China's Global University. He delivered it Monday morning. It's already gotten 200,000 views in China, getting coverage in Chinese press. It focuses on how neoliberalism is a major culprit in the West's wrong turn. Michael has graciously given us the first English transcript. So understand this is a view from there, looking here, talking about neoliberalism, and I don't know that anybody else in government is not a neoliberal. When you look at most, no one objected to the COVID Great Reset. No one objected to this destruction by the climate change fraud. Nobody noticed that they don't actually use science. Nobody. Well, they'll talk the rhetoric that they're against it, but it doesn't happen. Even though when everyone produces the Trump, oh, look what he did. And there's both sides of the coin. No, he advanced the Great Reset because he didn't stop it. He didn't insist on the law. Oh, another thing, we've sent him 4 letters. He never responded. Didn't even give us the go to Hades letter. Thank you for the letter. Goodbye. Didn't even give us that. And we're telling him what's coming here that you see, not the COVID. The mechanism of the neoliberal. Didn't want to hear it, apparently. The greatest challenge facing societies has always been how to conduct trade and credit without letting merchants and creditors make money by exploiting their customers and debtors. All antiquity recognized the drive to acquire money is addictive and indeed tends to be exploitive, hence socially injurious. The moral values of most societies oppose selfishness above all in the form of an avarice of wealth addiction. They recite the Greeks and the Romans, and they say, he goes through an analysis on that. I want to go back to this thing about when you start talking moral values. For those of us in America and those of you in your own country, think about maybe you can ask this question of those suggesting some sort of moral transformation through a new social contract for America. Ask them, who asked you? Back to this, someone is doing an analysis from outside looking in. Again, I'm hoping that those of us would look at what is someone else looking into our place that might have a different perspective have to educate us on it. Maybe it's not correct what they go, but they do have some insight that none of us may be thinking about at all as we have our head in the sand. Hazen, the West will soon cease to exist in its current form. Absolutely. This is out of a foreign place to look. They're looking back at us. According to Hazen, the current crisis in the Western economy is not a recession. It's an eschen, apparently, something, but I don't know about recession. But because it's not cyclical and not limited to 12 to 16 months. But here's an insight that we're not being told about how you go about looking at whether or not it's a recession. Remember, they said we have one aspect in the United States. I don't care what you call this eschen. It's not going to be good. It's the culmination of all the fraud we've put on improperly on the world through all of our mafia tactics, organized criminal tactics. The Confessions of a Hitman, or whatever that title of that book is. Yeah, that. What is happening today in Europe, U.S. and Europe is a structural crisis, a process that began in the fourth quarter of 2021 and will continue for at least 5 years without interruption. I'd sure like to know what that one he saw starting in 2021, because I've been watching multiple structural interferences and crises developing over 20 years. We sued the bulk of one of them, which is what you're dealing with today, in 2013. We sued the Bar Association. We sued the political parties. If you think anything political in me. No, I'll sue them both. Why? Because the other ones are not really worth the time. We sued the officials in their capacity, despite their oath, because they're violating the law. They're sabotaging the United States. They're sabotaging, causing national security issues, all going under the table. No leader stepping up. No officer in a job stepping up. No judiciary. Why would they? We sued them. They didn't answer. Default. They're in on it. I'm going to end this right here. I need to keep going. This is an interesting insight. They talk directly. You can be affected through your economy, through your money, what you use for. And so this starts to become giving us the idea, maybe we got to look for alternatives. I'm going to say maybe not go quite to the digital. Just start looking local. You can start going back to your own. I don't know how people are going to do this or accept it. Maybe they'll be more receptive as it gets harder, but as it gets harder, it becomes now more dangerous. But if they, I don't know why people just don't start accepting exchange in, even locally for silver and gold with the bring it by a cause, our ability to withstand the fraud coming on it, the ability to withstand what's being foisted on other countries, the ability to not get worse than what's being put upon us. As we look at what I told you to watch Russia, what they start to do to change, to create this mental instability to come to fruition, the bipolar world, not the unipolar government control, United States government control one, and maybe not even multipolar, but they're actually talking bipolar, another mental problem, another mental insanity we're going to be walking into. Watch what they're doing. Back to Africa, Russia's Lavrov set for a regional tour of continent of the future. They have their own plan, folks. They have the Europeans and the United States number on this. Everything that the United States is doing is shooting right back at them like so much spit in a hurricane. Now they're moving to Africa. The Russian foreign minister's five-day trip, four-nation trip, will take him to Egypt, Ethiopia, Uganda, and the Republic of Congo, where he will discuss a broad array of information. It's really everything that issues, I guess, here, including international and regional questions and matters of bilateral cooperation. So not bipolar, but bilateral, where they're working together, cooperation. But look at the words here. Regional, international, and regional, and cooperation are all the Industrial Revolution coming on after the transition and transformation. Russia is moving right now globally to start to engage nations to come on board. What's the United States doing? Burning every bridge it can possibly build, have built, and then taking away everything that would allow the reconstruction of those bridges by demanding things that are not cooperative. Moving on as how they're developing this against us to show us a different example on how this works. Watch what the Russia does and where they go. Consider you all being different nations and continents that someone like a Russia is coming to you, coming to tell you we are under a mutual threat. We need to come together and help each other bilaterally in cooperation against this threat. Iran, the MIR, M-I-R, MIR payment system was called the reason for the failure of Western sanctions. Moscow has created and put into operation a local system of international payments in advance. Russia was able to fully meet the West's disconnection of access to SWIFT, those measures that no one has been able to implement in advance yet. According to the journalist, the West did not take this factor into account at all. It simply deprived many sanctions of meaning. In addition, the authors of the article highly appreciated Moscow's decision to convert gas payments to rubles for unfriendly countries. As a result, the West had to circumvent its own sanctions. Stop there. You can read the rest. It's just a Telegram entry I'm reading from. Looking right at what's going on. Iran is seeing what's going on. Iran is seeing that the separate payment system they're willing to agree to is going to de-dollarize the world, de-globalize, going to make it multipolar. Why? Because Russia's got Iran's confidence. And what do we do to, what does the United States? What does the United States do to Iran? Vilify it. For who? In the name of Israel. And the threat that they might get in a nuclear weapon that Israel, the Zionists, have hundreds of. Keep watching Russia. Look what they're doing. Russian president arrives in Tehran. High level meetings here. Russia's not messing around. I have to give them a lot of credit. You need to watch their plan. Everyone's got these plans that work. You better develop your own, I guess, is the point today. Because I don't see it where we're supposed to have all these rights and stuff that we don't even know how to implement those, let alone come together and protect ourselves against this common threat. The alien threat, yeah, you're suffering it. Reagan's alien threat, you're suffering it. But it didn't come from the sky. Russian president arrives in Tehran. Upon his arrival on Wednesday at the Mehrabad International Airport, Putin was warmly welcomed by Minister of Economic Affairs and Finances, Masoud Karbassian, The trilateral meeting, which is scheduled to be held this evening, aims at to reinforce joint cooperation between Tehran, Moscow, and Baku. They're bringing alliances, folks. Russia is pulling this together to solidify its secondary pole in the world, and it's financial. And they're not being hurt. Another telegram, the Mir system will soon work in Iran. So all those efforts now got the leadership of Iran to go onto the Russian payment system. They don't need SWIFT. They don't need the IMF. They don't need the World Bank. They're deglobalizing. They're making separate and distinct autonomous systems. Russia's central bank now, inducements now, slashes rates, saying inflation slows. The Russian central bank diverged from its Western counterparts by slashing its key interest rate Friday, just a month after dropping it to where it was before the country sent troops into Ukraine. Well, guess what? The United States has to raise there. The Fed has mismanaged this whole thing because we're all living on a lie, apparently, when we look at it. The fiat currency system, the thuggery that goes out in the world. That rooster's coming home. Let's say that chicken comes home to roost, but this is a rooster. This is a cock of the walk that really should have been beat up by a badger a long time ago. The Russian bank knows what they're doing. They're just dropping interest rates. Why? Because they can. Their economy's strong, even though our numbers are different. They look kind of funky. They look like they may not be doing well. But remember, Donbass is doing great. They grow grain. They sell it to people who want it. Production. Livelihood. What you do with land. Put in its best use. That's another wording. Those of you that, anywhere, the government interferes with your best use. Boy, that's a big one. That's a big one. That's why the land was given to you, was the highest and best use. Boy, that's a big one. I've got chills on that one. Why? Because that's how a miner is so powerful, where he can assert the right. The land was granted to him because where you find the mineral located, the uncommon mineral, is the only highest, it's the highest use you can put to land is mineral extraction. Even higher than food, actually. When you get your head wrapped around that one, that's going to be an interesting sight. But here, they can't even do that. They interfere with that highest and best use. They're coming contrary to the establishment of your government and why you use land. Well, that's a big one. But Russia banks slash. They know what they're doing. And guess what? Russia can slash. Can't do that in the United States. Can't do that underneath the fiat system that's the global dollar system, the dollarization. Then Russia also comes in and Putin signs a ban on crypto payments in Russia. Just like I told you they could do. Heads up, folks. What's interesting, look at the savings clause. It's all banned unless the federal government allows it. Russia's doing what I said they would do if we're looking at the economic transformation into a digital future. Why, Putin's not the high-sounding guy that it might look like when I'm telling you, look at what Russia's doing. They're advancing that other side, and they're de-dollarizing and de-globalizing the system. They're another agent. All these people, he's another, I guess, young leader, global leader, this Putin guy. In 2017, I think he was over at the Davos. Russian President Vladimir Putin signed into law a national ban on using digital asset currencies. We'll read any more just to go, keep reading down until you see they're banning them if they're not compliant with federal law. As I told you that they would do in digital systems, they would start outlawing stuff unless you come on and you do it their way. Remember, they also gave the digital assets tax breaks. That's regulated use. I predicted that this would have to happen. It's what they did. They did it to the miners, right? They did it to the indigenous and native peoples, too. It just doesn't look like it because they've treated them so badly for forever. Miners were beat on and warred against for a long time until the law came, and it was indefensible to continue to attack them. And then this is where I'm telling you the highest and best use of land came into play. The indigenous people and native peoples did not have that. Otherwise, we're both in the same camp, as you see what's going on today. I told you governments will ban crypto. What you find the savings clause to be able to use crypto is unless otherwise allowed by federal government. India, central bank wants to ban crypto, wants to ban cryptocurrencies, government says. India's central bank wants to ban cryptocurrencies, opposite of what the West is doing. The government told Parliament on Monday. I'm just going to anticipate they're going to follow. Remember, BRICS. Brazil, Russia, India. Yeah, India's right there in that other pole of the bipolar world. Russia's going to ban cryptocurrencies, well, unless they authorize it by the federal government, and India's looking like banning them. I suspect they're going to have the same policy. Why? Because these are going to be made across, these are going to be uniform, these implementations, across that bipolar world. Now, we see that bipolar statement in another telegram that came up. I just noticed someone's going through documenting what this is going on. Now, a multipolar system is rising. I suggest it's not necessarily multipolar from the standpoint of economy. It's going to be more bipolar. Their system and our system. Now, I say our. None of us, my listeners, the people here, are going to be part of that. You're going to be a subject. You're going to be oppressed by it. Now, Zoltan Kovacs was on the, says Chinese, the Indians, the Brazils, South African, and the Arab world, most of Africa, is not willing to participate in this war. Not because the truth is not where the West is, but because they have their own problems to deal with and solve. The ability of the Americans to call on people to side with the good guys, that's gone. The Ukrainians are not winning the war against the Russians. Sanctions will not tip the balance in Russia. Europe is economic and is in political crisis. Many governments have fallen. And where is autumn? The world is not with us, but demonstratively not with us. As someone observes what's going on in the world, you should too. You shall, I would say. It's imperative you understand why. You're not just looking at what they're doing. Oh, that's all they're making a bipolar world. I'm saying you have to do these in your own life against your own governments as best you can and as best you can learn. It's a deep dive. I certainly do not have all the answers. I certainly cannot talk to the people in Ecuador for themselves. They're doing that fine. But go look and see what it takes to do that. We aren't even close as a free, anybody so-called in the West and a free people that we think we are. Sanctions on, and here's the blowback. Like spitting into a hurricane. No one's with us. Look at, sanctions on Russia could leave Britain without fish and chips. What the heck? I was looking, what the heck does Russia have to do with fish and chips? Well, the fisheries are so kind of messed up that, well, that's where they get the food that they use, the two fish that they use in Britain, mostly from Russia. Well, the Queen didn't figure that one out, I guess, to keep the custom official and going. No. No, they blame it on Russia now. Self-inflicted wound. They shouldn't have been involved in there at all. But now they're not, now you might be out of your fish and chips. No hurt to Russia. They'll sell their fish to somebody else. Britain receives an energy price warning. The end of deliveries of Russian gas to the European countries have knock-on impacts on prices. The domino effect, folks? No one thinks about this stuff? Or is it a plan? I think it might be both, a little bit of both. I think they're so arrogant. The hubris is just so high and mighty. They didn't even realize what was going on. I think it's right that Putin has outplayed everything, and they did not consider this. It was not considerate of these things. So Brits receive an energy price warning. No, it's a warning because it's going to happen in January. I'm shocked at what people are putting up with. I don't know how people are going to do this. And utilities are something that's a very interesting problem because you really don't have, it is the commons. It's supposed to be done to be able to give to you, but the policy isn't supposed to be made to cut your nose to spite your face either. Folks in Europe, anywhere in the cold areas that are having energy problems, folks, I don't know what to say. You need to get more vocal, whatever you can do. Maybe it's not a very powerful position, but do something. It's really ominous, so-called knock-on offense. Don't even know the step-by-step degrading of what's going on. Your people making decisions are not just now finding out about knock-on impacts that are going to cost you, the one who pays, and the one that suffers when you can't. We heard about the lady, I can't even afford to power my feeding machine last week or the week before. And who causes all this and continues to cause, who doesn't call out these frauds, who continues to let the transformation, moral transformation of your society happen, some foreigner's decision? Johnson unwilling to step down as Tory leader until next election now. Which I was questioning last week, I think it was. People don't want to go away. And then now everyone's looking and seeing what they're going to have as a choice over there in the UK. I don't see anything good coming out of the woman that they're saying that it should be on tap. Maybe that's why he's doing it. So he ain't going away now. He's now looking like a genius, I'm understanding, about what he did. So these world leaders, these people that are completely in the game, just stick around. Again, it's all politics, and it's in crisis, and they don't care. They don't certainly don't care about you. As we move over now, COVID revisited, Germans now are going to face it without the impetus, as they're now warned of toilet paper shortage. That cleared the shelves. This is a different type of one. Germany faces shortages on such staples as toilet paper and cardboard. Did you know cardboard was a staple, folks? You really have to look and see how critical this whole condition is. The toilet paper and cardboard, and if Russia gas supplies dwindle in the coming months, well, they're already dwindled. In fact, Russia has just cut off another turbine. They have to build them. The West started playing games. They said, okay, Russia said, okay, play games. It just means your folks in Europe aren't going to get the gas we're willing to give them. Operating paper plants may become unprofitable if they are forced to produce at reduced capacity because of gas shortage. Let me just go back with the word produce. I was telling you, you're all production. Manufacturing's production. It's not in government. It's absolutely outside. It's the primary base of society. Government exists at the tertiary level of economics. It's the one that sits and regulates over the secondary, possibly the secondary, its own level and possible secondary supporters of production. Production is not in the state. And so they attack the energy as an attack on the production. And so now they threaten the Germans with they won't get toilet paper. But that's the least of their worries when the rest of it starts to fail. The domino effect? Warned of toilet paper shortage. We didn't even get COVID, right? They're going to have a toilet paper shortage. Because why? It isn't just because some lunatic decided that there was a sickness around and somehow we weren't going to have toilet paper. This is the production of that failing. There isn't any in the warehouses to give you. There's none being made. There's no cardboard in your world. There's no trees to make the cardboard. The production is gone. How long do you think your society is going to last? What kind of strife does that put in your society, made by foreigners, under color of being leaders in office? Color of leaders in office brings up maybe Biden. Interestingly, COVID, he tests negative for COVID. The U.S. president has apparently shaken off coronavirus after 5 days isolation. He's the instigator of all this stuff going on in Europe. What did I say about the reflection of the Europe and the Middle East as a carnival mirror reflection on us? We're the same to them. We had our toilet paper shortage fiasco. Now they're having theirs. But it's all based in the same derelictions of duty and the invasion, the oppression. We get the word that Biden has had COVID. He tests negative now. Oh, we all think it's fine. Remember, there is no test, folks. So this is all set up. Let me remind you that test is simply adjusted by how many cycles they put in. If they wanted him to show negative, they could just run less cycles and he'll show negative. It doesn't test for anything. It doesn't test for anything they can identify. Remember that. And then, interestingly, test negative, they test him again to show how fickle this thing is. President Joe Biden tests positive for COVID again. And what do they blame it on? A bounce back from the use of the chemical, the weapon and antidote that they claim that they're using, that helped him. That doesn't help anybody. Like the vaccines don't prevent anything. So, oh, they test him negative. Well, now he's tested positive. He's going to go back into isolation. Based on the same excuse observed, these positive responses, the rebounds, they call them, observed in a small percentage of patients treated with Paxlovid, another Pfizer chemical weapon. What are they doing here, folks? Is on again, off again? Again, remember, it's all a fraud. There's no test. So they can set you up to lead your mind to somewhere, which caused me to find more interest in this little telegram thing I got that apparently shows a cartoon from The Simpsons, a prediction showing a gravestone, RIP 2022 Joe Biden. And before everybody goes, Ray, I want you to figure out who are they going to replace him with. What does that mean to us? And boy, aren't we getting closer and closer? Do we have to stop talking and start acting? As we hear that Pelosi's jets may or may not go land in Taiwan. And the Chinese are furious over that. Or they say so. Simon Simpson's prediction. So he's on again, off again with COVID. As the news will present it, I look at it, so this is just a fraud, an ongoing fraud. And yet, maybe Simpsons can predict stuff like we see these cartoons seemingly are able to at least present beforehand, right? Interesting. Don't wish anything on him. I'm just saying this is out there. Now they start playing games. While the U.S. now, the most important thing in the news, all this stuff that Russia's causing, all this supply chain problem that was happening from this COVID, has now caused the disaster that the U.S. is facing, a Halloween candy shortage. Candy consumers may have to go without this Halloween. Hershey CEO Michelle Buck warned this week, supply chain issues and rising costs mean the company has to prioritize its regular products over seasonal treats. We will not be able to meet consumer demand. This actually hits the news in the United States of America. And you believe this stuff? These corporations are in on the great moral transformation reset. Guess you don't need your Halloween candy either, or your holiday, or your joy, or your time out with your kids, even if you agree with all that, whatever that means. Have you ever researched what Halloween means? No, you can't have candy now. It's not profitable. That's newsworthy. That's why I started laughing about it. This actually made the news. The U.S. is facing a candy shortage. After that, that raised some hackles. Because then we see the United States Senate passing a resolution to classify Russia a state sponsor of terrorism. How convenient and how interesting. I had to laugh at this one. Yes, I'm laughing. These are my jokes, folks. We ran out of Halloween candy. Russia did it. We're going to make them a state sponsor of terrorism. Why not? It's not us. On July 27, 2022, the United States Senate passed a resolution urging the State Department to classify Russia as a state sponsor of terrorism. Remember now, the Senate represents each state, even though it's ridiculously chosen by the people, those senators. But yeah, they're speaking as if they're speaking about that from the states, telling the State Department, now present to the world for us, like you're supposed to, that's what Washington, D.C. does, that the 57 states, if you know what you're talking about here with Obama telling you the truth, we want you to say Russia is a state-sponsored terrorism. We aren't getting our Halloween candy. They are terrorists. That's when they act. At the same time they want to call Russia a terrorist, the panicking Biden administration seeks to talk with Russia. If you don't start looking at the mental instability of these people, the lack of foundation, and this is all, again, they can do all this stuff. There's an agenda they're running, so they can do all this stuff. We're expecting it to be sane. We're expecting it to be a certain order of things, certain sympathy, certain morality. No, they're there to change all that for them. So while we're going to declare the Russia state-sponsored terrorism, let's look past the one that the United States is, the one and the Zionists are, and anywhere else in the world that seems to run the world as they oppress people. Kanukistan, Artur Pulowski, those folks that were beat down because they dared to file for a religious exemption to say, I've got an exemption you must accommodate for this jab mandate. No, we're going to condemn Russia, but then we're going to go ask and talk to them. Is not a real stable administration or governmental situation. Again, anybody that remains silent while this is going on in the government agrees with this insanity. They are aiding and abetting it. At the same time, they want to call Russia a sponsor of state terrorism without identifying the United States on their own because we have a Halloween candy shortage. House Democrats violated Second Amendment by passing the assault, line crossed through this one, assault defense weapons ban. Are you listening, folks? The Democrat-controlled House on Friday night passed an assault weapons, in quotes, ban by a vote of 217 to 213, violating the Second Amendment right of millions of Americans. Legislation known as H.R. 1801 was sponsored by Representative David Cecilian, Democrat of Rhode Island, of course, the congressman who has no idea what shall not be infringed means, took to social media. slowly our freedoms are being chipped away. We know better. Justification as to it's hammer and chisel. Well, there's your we'll condemn Russia, but we'll pick on its take on its own Soviet identity. Won't talk anything more. Do you hear the declaration of war against the people, notwithstanding what the Constitution says, by the so-called representatives here? I got to pause here. Are you really thinking about what's going on? And if you're not thinking about it, maybe it's time you ought to be. Put this into application, what goes on here. As I said earlier on, the registration of anything is the confiscation or the finding out. In the regard of the alter and abolish principle that your Second Amendment right is for, they know where your armament. What if we told Russia where all of our nuclear weapons were, where all of our tanks were, where all of our airplanes were, every right down to the last little address, right to the light, right the paddock that it sits on, right to the tarmac that it sits on. We handed all that to the United States government to Russia. Where our submarines are, where the boats are. How would that go over, that the government of the United States does that to you with the right to bear arms for the purpose of altering their maladministration? The United States wouldn't tolerate it. Russia wouldn't tolerate it back the other way. Why are you tolerating it? And I really am trying to hesitate to be, let's stay calm and peaceful. When I see this kind of thing coming out of this agendized neoliberalism, I start to see that they're declaring civil war on you again. Like the exactions of every kind haven't been enough. What Lincoln did to you wasn't enough. There was a job to be finished, apparently. I don't know what more to say about this nonsense. It goes on, you remain silent, or you get in your arm, you start, you know, cheerleading about this. It's not, there's going to have to be a serious discussion going on, and that's going to have to be turned into very directed energy, if you will. It's not getting too technically operated here. Directed energy to warn these folks off. I really don't think we want to go there, but this is what they're doing. I looked at that and said, boy, how much closer to a direct legislating a civil war are you talking? Saying the government's coming for a private protection appliance whose purpose, one of the purposes of which, is to alter or abolish oppression from the government. And they want to know where you're at. And they want to be able to take that stuff by excuse, color of authority. Oh, you got a mental problem. In a bipolar world, you got a mental problem. In a country that operates out of fraud, you got a mental problem. Better stop there. I'm just saying, we better start thinking about this. They're moving this thing along. You keep quiet. I don't know where else it goes, but where they're dragging it. As we see Trump, America can repeat the fate of the USSR, as I just showed you. The response to this was the hammer and sickle. We're taking on the old Soviet position. Trump is saying America can repeat the fate of the USSR. The main threat to the United States comes from within, as a result of which the country may repeat the fate of the USSR, Venezuela, or Cuba. This was stated by the former head of the White House, Donald Trump, during a speech in Washington. I end there. I got to keep moving. And then I got this little link shows us, remember, and don't forget, I guess I should say, remember that Donald Trump moved in on Operation Warp Speed, the COVID-19 Great Reset. We see in this next link, Trump saying we could go back to Russia. We bring up the fact of oppression, the USSR now, not Russia, but the USSR. The United States is going there. He says we could be there. I'm saying we are there, and he helped. And we see an evidence of something that was tied into the Great Reset, the COVID. Remember, it says COVID, the Great Reset. I want to remind you, relative to Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, Trump, he met there. He made some comments. There's interesting little dialogue going on in this. However, the Fourth Industrial Revolution was published in 2016. It was a public knowledge that should allow Trump to understand this. We're writing letters to Trump as well. I don't want to do too much deep on this. He's denying, and we're trying to tell him, hey, this stuff is here. It's already in the country. We at least take some advice, some counsel on that it's there and maybe how to deal with it. in October of 2019, I think this video I have this link to, Trump comes in the room with Klaus Schwab in a purple, well, lavender-looking room, not blue like they usually have. And he, out of Trump's own mouth, if I can say they're not putting words in the mouth of a video edited to say so, he says, Klaus has done a fantastic job. Now, I can get the joke if a fantastic means a phantasm. I get that. But, again, you don't just look at someone's words, you look at what they do. October 22, 2019, Trump and Klaus Schwab are together. The fourth industrial revolution is known. All this Agenda 21 stuff is known. Agenda 2030 is known. Operation Warp Speed goes in by Trump, at the hand of Trump, May 2020. The next month, the book issues from Klaus Schwab, COVID-19, the Great Reset. Trump does nothing upon that publication and the prior knowledge of the fourth industrial revolution to destroy all Western nations. Now, COVID-19 is fraud. So when you look at the title, COVID-19, the Great Reset, published, in other words, it was written before then, in June of 2020, 1 month after Operation Warp Speed, saying that COVID would be used as the moral transformation in aid of what we see now are the WEF's implementation policies, but really supporting the UN Agenda 21, the Agenda 2030 goals to be finished by then. You see, change the word COVID is fraud, change that word to fraud. When you see COVID, you look at the retitle of that, and you can see what COVID ends up being in context of that are endless disease. So you see, COVID is fraud. Well, it says fraud and the Great Reset. But COVID is the moniker for endless disease. I should say it that way. It's not just sickness. It's any disease in your whole life. But you can read that book and retitle it to say endless disease, the global enslavement. That we see Trump talking about USS, we could go, the United States go back to USSR as it was communist. We're already there. He knows it. He implemented Operation Warp Speed, despite knowing Klaus Schwab and agreeing by his own words that Klaus Schwab is doing a fantastic job, is not the type of message I want to get from this guy. And stand there flat-footed like he's sitting there to try and protect us. And what's going on at the same time, we're moving all this agenda forward, Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer reach a deal on climate, energy, and taxes in a surprise announcement. And don't underestimate the connection of those three subject matters. How you're going to be brought into austerity, the control and the taxation of it and the theft that goes on. And I said, I don't know these political folks. Who is Joe Manchin? Well, I look at the title, my initial indication was Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer, which I thought was a Democrat, they reached a deal. Oh, Joe Manchin must be a Republican, right? Well, no, I did some real quick check. No, it says one Democrat met with another Democrat to reach a deal on climate, energy, and taxes. It's not the kind of deal I was thinking that politics does when you have a bicameral type of setup. And we don't. So what you're looking at there is there's no deal. It's only how to press the agenda forward. And apparently they're bold enough to say they're going to manipulate your Second Amendment right that supposedly says shall not be infringed. Like you shall be innocent until proven guilty. We see that doesn't exist. We see that in Artur Pawlowski. 51 days in jail, innocent man. Your whole nation is now in prison and you're not saying anything. Well, these people do this. They make news like they were talking some kind of a political party. They're all looking out for you. No, these are two people, organized criminals, getting together to advance the neoliberal condition, which is all to advance this global invasion we call sustainable development, which I've told you is what causes the leverage funding, the political buyouts. You don't know who's bought in. You just watch by their words what they do. It's what started the cause of getting all the production. Remember, production is the basis of your life, society's life. All the production got swept off into China. Why? Because there was lots of money to be made when you imprison a lot of other people and put them into debt slavery. They get to work for a nickel an hour, and you get to think that you're making 12. U.S. Senate passes $52 billion subsidy for domestic semiconductor producers. producers. Now your taxpayer, so-called, your good faith and credit about the taxes is going to pay to bring back and subsidize basic technology in the digital world. It's a good thing from the production side. It's a bad thing what they're going to put that to. They're now subsidizing your future slavery, and you're caught. You're being told you're paying for it because they're doing it by the appropriations, subsidizing these companies. They're not subsidizing your farmers, are they? They're not subsidizing any other producer. They are subsidizing what they're going to use in order to enslave you in the future. And that should have never been a subsidy. That should have been allowed a free market reign, which we were absolutely superior with and in until I think it was the Clintons, and he gave a lot of that technology over. And the high technology stuff that I can tell you in the industry, we were really way head and shoulders above. Way, way, way. Lost. Now they're going to buy it back on your back and then cost you and then enslave you with it? These people are brilliant. And you be quiet, super brilliant. U.S. Congressman calls for the adding of India and sixth NATO as a sixth NATO plus member to boost defense ties. Do you think that's going to go over good with India moving over into an economic sphere, NATO working backwards? I told you, what's NATO doing outside of the Atlantic? Why are they threatening China? You're looking at a whole new game plan going on. The United States is running it. And then we wonder why countries left and right are abandoning the system that allowed the United States government to be the singular, what looked to be the unity government of the world. That is changing. And look at Russia, what Russia is doing, powerful enough to be able to do what it needs to. Are you powerful enough to do what it needs to stop what's going on? Congressman calls for adding India to NATO. Why? NATO's supposed to be separate. NATO's arsonist in chief, Jens Stoltenberg, wants the Western public to pay for Ukrainian fire he helped us to ignite. EU members should stop complaining and pay the price for the Russian-Ukraine conflict, says leader of the bloc, which started it all. Remember, Trump was saying the same thing. Oh, you European unions have to pay the price. But the United States is already in it, doing it, controlling it. We heard that in the last broadcast where they had the summit. The United States was a premier position there. Biden was on top. No one else was. But this guy is the arsonist, asking everyone to put out the fire and pay him to start more fires. And understand that when you see a congressman saying, oh, we got to go try to get India to be a sixth member of NATO. They're out of position as well. But so this arsonist, NATO chief starts the conflagration in Europe. Really, no purpose. We've heard about all this. Have no purpose and no right. The Soviet Union's long gone. Well, except for Trump is saying it's coming back, and I'm already telling you that it is because of the way you're being treated. But let's not forget the West is an arsonist generally. I want to remind you because it was reminded to me 78 years ago today, and this was a couple days ago, Churchill incinerated 100,000 defenseless civilian in Dresden. In the sky, Allied fighters caught sight of the civilian train and opened fire on the children inside, whose blood was soon pouring out of the wreckage. You can read the story of what happened. You can read how the Churchill destroyed 100,000 plus people. Some got away maimed. That it was larger catastrophe, a larger Holocaust than what happened in Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Not a peep. If you think the British are above and white knights about this, no. Let's remind when they start talking about arsonists in NATO, it's the character of these people. It's for us to remember so we understand who we're actually dealing with. They're going to torch something in your life. Whether it looks like fire or not, it will be destroyed nonetheless. What you're watching with nitrogen is a conflagration that's attacking all of your food production. Or limiting it. But the arsonist is the government. It's these people that were told to us in history to be great people. Let's not forget who the arsonists are. And I get a little bit assertive on that because I spent 8 years about of my life figuring out how the Forest Service was the arson in our areas and how to stop it. and how to get our air clean in the summertime, and how to stop the threat. And we did. The arsonist is your government. It doesn't stop. Nothing is broken between over the pond. These people want to harm other people. Other things falling from the sky under sanction of the West and NATO. Telegram issued, the Ukrainian military carried out a remote mining of residential areas of Donetsk. Hudlovskaya Street is littered with PFM-1 pedal anti-personnel mines for remote mining, and special ammunition for MLRS is used. They send these rockets over and they disseminate these small hand, they're about the size of your palm of your hand, and they're made to maim you. The Ukraine government is sending these over and dropping them into the residential population zones. They're very small, they're easy to step on, they blow up, they take off your leg, if not something else. Why is the United States supporting this kind of a terror? Because they're arsonists, generally. They want destruction. They're not honorable. Within NATO, they're allowing this. Right? What is NATO not allowing? U.S. delays F-16 fighters jets over trust issues with Bulgaria. The delay is delivering the new American F-16 fighter jets may be due to a lack of trust in the Bulgarian authorities, which have not proven that they are reliably able to protect NATO secrets, two former Bulgarian defense ministers have said. What kind of a coalition is the United States running when it can't trust all of its members? Is why Russia's beating everything here. Scoop. NATO doesn't trust Ukraine with HIMARS operating advanced artillery themselves. What kind of a coalition of the willing are you putting together when you can't trust your own members? Is what Russia is going to beat us on. Notwithstanding that NATO has no purpose. I just read the titles. You can't trust a member? How is Iran accepting the MIR payment system unless it can trust Russia? If you can't trust somebody, and they can't trust you, or they learn that they aren't going to be trusted, what kind of an insult is that to them? Why is this NATO overseeing this? Why is the United States controlling it to be seen this way? It's telling you a whole lot. We tend to think it's over there. This is the mentality of people that are ruining your life at home. And what they're willing to do, and what's accepted as willing to be allowed, if you're on that list, you're dead. UK Journal speaks out about being placed on Ukrainian hit list. If you speak out about Ukraine as a journalist, you're put on a hit list. He luckily found out, and now he's a targeted man, and everybody on that list, if I read the story correctly, is dead. And the United States oversees that, and NATO, this arsonist guy, oversees this and allows it. If you think that Julian Assange is some aberration, and others. And I ask those of us that are Americans, we think we're free, we have these rights, what are you watching? What do you think you're watching? What do you think you're seeing that you're not responding? Somewhere, somehow. You speak out, you try to tell the truth, you're vilified. You're worse. You're put on a hit list. You're dead. And who's giving us that information? Who isn't on the hit list and dead? Bellingcat. Boy, this group. Memory is stuff I have about all these people is going. I don't keep track of it. But there was a time in a few years when Bellingcat became important about how deceptive they were. They're in the news again. Bellingcat confirms involvement in Ukraine plot to steal Russian jets. Bellingcat is said to be part of a CIA operative journalist, so-called journalism system. They come out and there's videos. They tried to get Russian pilots to take their equipment, fly their airplanes through special corridors to get them through the lines and fly them into Ukraine so the United States and the NATO could get the jets. The situation was caught. They didn't do it very well. Then Bellingcat actually came out and agreed that they had helped. It was just one of the guys that worked for them. Then Bellingcat came out and said, yeah, we did it. But we did it as a documentary. I asked you again, where journalists are killed, how is Bellingcat able to try and cause an international incident unaffected that should not be done and is not condemned either? They just willy-nilly do this stuff and that's okay? No, they're involved. Sources like Bellingcat are part of this Schmidt-Mutt thing that they can lie to you. They can do whatever they want to advance whatever they think they need to. It's all called national security. They won't allow you to survive in production to prevent the destruction of your security, which affects the nation. No, they're in a different tack. They're after you. They're after keeping tabs. Total domination, like they told us years ago. And I'm losing whether or not I've told you this. I thought I told you this story, but I want to remind you. And in the video that we saw, there's a military sitting right next to the guy who's talking about it. U.S. official voices via DNA biowarfare fears. Talking as if it's coming from enemies. We know the military guy sitting next to him is the one that's probably pulling the triggers on all this. I've talked about all this. I do want to call it to your attention. I couldn't remember if I mentioned it before. House Intelligence Committee member warns against Americans against DNA testing kits. Where'd you hear that from, folks? Don't do it. Biosamples gathered by various DNA testing services could be sold and used to develop bioweapons specially tailored to target certain groups of or even individuals. Where'd you learn about some of that there, folks? Behind the woodshed? Sure did. Oh, the nasal swabs on a fraud? Sure did. And that military guy sits right there with a big smile on their face about how they're doing this to you. They're saying it's someone else doing it, and they're the ones that caused the trouble. Oh, let's do all the problems. Well, let's blame Russia for it. They're a terrorist because we didn't get our Halloween candy. Oh, let's put that pastor in jail up in Kanukistan because he doesn't have the right of innocence. We're sovereign. We're sovereign citizens. As they pass a new bill in the United States that identifies and makes a digital ID pervasive in the United States, in advancement of that DNA policy and record for life that the military is actually doing at warp speed. Thank you, Trump. Klaus Schwab's doing a fantastic job. And guess what? He will until you step up somewhere, folks. Please. It's a global takedown. I'm just blown away. It's actually kind of exciting to watch it, but I understand there's death and destruction against all this. And all of you all are on the front line, whether you know that or not. They're setting up the system that all you have to say is, I can't know. Start to understand your savings provisions. Start to understand there's no authority to be doing certain things. You better be able to step up and discuss that as an obstruction to the running down of your lives. And really, I'm looking down the future of the younger folk. They're, you know, the little kids coming up. There's a resistance in some, but it's not universal. And to my level of integration, not anybody really knows how to, when you don't have the decision, how powerless you might be. Unless maybe a class action of a bunch of you got together on something so clearly violative like no accommodation for a religious practice. Unless you do that, see? See how where I told you it takes lots more and more people to get together? But there's your examples today. Hope something I said helps you out, gives you guidance, sees how integrated this whole is, where you might locally work to help you out with your other people like mine to protect yourself, give yourself that distance and that buffer, but don't allow them in, and don't allow the abuses that you're watching happening to people like Pastor Artur Pawlowski. I'll be with you next week. Tech this for Nature Will.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.